Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. With the arrival of August happening this past week, there is a shift of gears on the horizon. Our next month to come is September, and with it, all of the changes that that will bring to our families, to our roads, to our schools. And while that shift is on the horizon, as we come to church this morning, you can't help but to notice the big shift that has already happened. The difference between last week and this week. You see, for the past 3 weeks in our Sunday scriptures, we've been down the shore with Jesus. He's been along the shore of Galilee, teaching from a boat, teaching in parables in very simple terms about his kingdom. Parables use those common images of everyday life. Seeds and nets, yeast, and things of the kingdom. Today, it's a very different scene. Jesus is no longer down the shore, he's up the mountain. Some think that maybe Jesus was from Philadelphia, because Philadelphians, in the summer, they either go down the shore or up the mountains. Well, Jesus does both. Of course, he's up the mountain today, not teaching in a parable, but having a moment of great theophany, a moment of terrific revelation. And we see Jesus in his transfiguration in all of his glory. We see a divine moment when the Father reveals who the Son is. It really is a key moment, not merely in the life of Jesus, but in the life of those apostles that were with him, Peter, James, and John. You and I know the Transfiguration. Practicing Catholics know the Transfiguration to be that fourth luminous mystery of the Rosary. But to put it in greater context, this event in Matthew happens in chapter 17, which means time is growing short for Jesus. There's not much more time left for him to accomplish his mission. And from this point on, he sets his face toward Jerusalem. He's going to that other mountain, Calvary. But before doing that, knowing that the scandal of the cross lies ahead, he wants to encourage his closest friends. The fathers of the church say that the Transfiguration was meant to be a great act of mercy, a great gift to his friends, to increase their faith and trust, especially for the difficult moments that would be ahead. As short as Jesus' time is, there is so much more to come. There's nothing short about Jesus. And in the Transfiguration, we see it. We realize it. In Jesus, we learn that Christian faith is made up of both glorious moments, like the Transfiguration, moments of great light and miracles, mountaintop experiences, but also in the plain and the ordinary, as in the parables that he shared with us. Christian faith is both. And you and I, as Christians, we have experienced both. We are all in church here today because there has been a particular person through whom the light of Christ shone through. We have experienced miracles. We've had experienced moments of great grace. This is what brings us to church. Because we've experienced light and glory. Moments when we knew that we knew that Jesus is God. This is why we're Christian. You got up out of bed because you believe that Jesus is here in the Eucharist. And this is why people come to Mass every day. Why wouldn't they? This is why spouses can remain faithful to each other, because they know that that's the way of Christ. This is what inspires celibate priests. I didn't become a priest to share merely a pulpit with people or to preside over a piece of bread. Oh no. I became a priest because Jesus Christ called me. And to serve him as a celibate is worth my all, because he gives his all in the Eucharist. And he has called me, he's called you to do the same in our own particular ways of life. You see, Christian faith is both extraordinary and ordinary. It involves the head, the knowing of God, but the heart, which trusts him. It is both divine revelation and trust. Christian faith involves certain hope and such heroic love. We see of this all, of course, in the life of Christ, who loved us totally, even unto death. Sometimes, like Peter, we get stuck. We think that it's either all glory and all light, or that it's all just the ordinary and the flat. Isn't it beautiful that our faith is both? That we profess something that no other faith professes. That God became man. And that fact is extraordinary and incredibly ordinary. It's extraordinary that God would become man, that he would be as ordinary as flesh and bones. And that makes everything human extraordinary. From the daily chores to the difficult moments, there is nothing that has been left untouched by the grace of God, because God has become one with us. And the beautiful story, the beautiful mission, the beautiful call to be realized is our being one with him. One of my favorite definitions of faith came from the mouth of Mother Angelica. In describing Christian faith, she said, "Christian faith is 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot in the air, and a queasy feeling in the stomach." 1 foot on the ground. That's the certainty of our faith. That's the creed that we're about to profess. They're the facts of our faith, facts that have been proven, facts that have been attested to, facts that are true. We believe, and they're certain. The foot in the ground is that. The foot in the air, well, that's the mission. That's the trusting and the living every day of what we believe. And my friends, there is a mission. And how challenging, but how beautiful. And if you have 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot in the air, guess what? You're probably going to have a queasy stomach. And in fact, that's a good thing. In fact, if you're really living the Christian life, you're going to experience that. How sad it is for a Christian to be too comfortable. How sad for a Christian never to have experienced a queasy stomach. This is why our faith is so exciting. Some people think that they're not doing it right, or they don't have faith if they feel anxious or nervous or worried. No, I think you may be doing it right. This is why Mother Angelica used to drink Maalox, and a lot of it. This is why, if you need anxiety medicine, it's good to be on it if you're living the Christian life. One foot on the ground, one foot in the air, and a queasy feeling in the stomach. Certainly, Peter, James, and John had that queasy feeling. They didn't want to leave the mountain. They didn't know the scandal that was ahead. And so, what is the takeaway of all of this? What is the takeaway of this feast, this beautiful moment of revelation, of theophany, the transfiguration? Well, God has made it perfectly clear that Jesus, his Son, is God. The Father's voice is heard. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus is God. He is Lord and King. And as baptized people, we share in the life of his kingdom. And to know him, to serve him, to live for him, to be on mission in, with, and for him is our sacred call. And my friends, this is the beautiful gift of our faith. And it is a definitive change of gears, not just from August to September, from the vacation to the school, but from a life of no meaning to living a life of great purpose and confidence and mission. Last evening, our Holy Father presided over a vigil with young people. He's in Lisbon for World Youth Day. And the estimates are were about 1.5 million young people in this crowd. And before a Eucharist, a host bigger than my arm span, he reminded them, he challenged them to remember the roots of joy. And he said this, he said, young people, walk, and if you fall, get up. Walk with a goal. Train every day in life. Nothing in life is free. Everything is paid for. And with the love of Jesus, which is both costly and gift, with the love of Jesus, desire to walk. Walk in hope. Look at your roots and go forward without fear. My friends, the feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord gives us such great confidence. This is a fact of our faith. And together with Jesus, together in Jesus and with his apostles, we continue, as the Pope said, to walk further, to be people on mission, to extend his kingdom from this church into the world, into whatever awaits us. Today, let us give thanks to God for this mission, for this vocation, for this privilege of being a Christian. And let us be that very well. God be with you.